everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
A man who needs no introduction.
The Black Information Network is committed to bringing you up-to-the-date news stories that are relevant, informative, and inspiring. And while news stories are always being updated and others are breaking, we understand that you need to be in the know all week long. Welcome to your Midweek Memo on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast with me, your host, Ramses Ja. All right, big news. First up from Washington Post, Congress late Tuesday passed legislation to ban or force a sale of TikTok, delivering a historic rebuke of the video sharing platform's Chinese ownership after years of failed attempts to tackle the app's alleged national security risks. The Senate approved measure 79-18 as part of a sprawling package offered aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, sending the proposal to President Biden's desk, with the House having passed it Saturday. Biden issued a statement minutes after the Senate vote saying he plans to sign the bill into law, which he did as of today. Once signed, the provision would give TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, roughly 9 months to sell the wildly popular app or face a national ban, a deadline the president could extend by an extra 90 days. The measure, which has broad bipartisan support, poses the most significant threat yet to the app's operations in the United States, where it has more than 170 million users and has become an economic and cultural powerhouse. Lawmakers pushing for the restriction have cited concerns that the company's ownership structure could allow the Chinese government to gain access to Americans' data, claims that TikTok disputes. TikTok is expected to challenge the measure, setting up a high-stakes and potentially lengthy legal battle that will test the company's argument that any such law would violate the free speech rights of millions. But its frenzied efforts to derail the proposal, including nudging users to register complaints with their congressional representatives and running ads touting TikTok's data security efforts just days out from a final vote, have failed to dissuade lawmakers. Quote, "It is unfortunate that the House of Representatives is using the cover of important foreign and humanitarian assistance to once again jam through a ban bill that would trample the free speech rights of 170 million Americans," unquote. This was from a statement TikTok made last week. So what have we here? Well, there's a lot of paranoia here. I can't say that it is well placed, but I suspect that it is not. This is kind of the latest boogeyman. And I think that just kind of the timeline of events here happened around the frenzy that was surrounding the Chinese spy balloons. If you remember back a few years ago, when, you know, we were tracking these Chinese spy balloons, and all of a sudden China getting our data became this big scary thing. Well, I don't imagine that China, with all of its sophistication, all of its hackers, and on and on and on, really needs TikTok to spy on children. I don't imagine that that is critically important to them. I feel like if they needed to get this data, there's a number of ways that they could get it. And this might or might not be one of the ways that they could go about doing it. Now, on the other side, TikTok, as the article mentions, is an economic and cultural powerhouse for lots of Americans. A lot of people make money off of TikTok. It is their job. It is what they do professionally. I have friends. They make $10,000 a month posting videos about strange facts or, you know, whatever, cooking recipes, things like this. And this is how they make money. This is the result of the pandemic and them having to shift and finding some form of economic success. And this ban has caused a lot of people to become very afraid. And when you look at it, you know, a lot of what people put on TikTok is stuff like that. It's dances. It's, you know, harmless stuff. But because of the cultural disconnect with the age of folks in our politics, and indeed the user base, the age of people that actually use TikTok, you know, it's very easy for people to be afraid of what they don't know. And I think this was illustrated perfectly when the TikTok CEO was brought to the House of Representatives to discuss the relationship with the Chinese. And as he was being questioned, the question kept coming up, you know, about, you know, what are your ties to the Chinese government? And, you know, he continually responded, you know, I'm Singaporean. Have you ever functioned as an agent of the Chinese military? No, I'm Singaporean. I'm a citizen of Singapore. I'm the CEO of this company, but I'm from Singapore. That's where I grew up. It's where my country allegiance is and so forth. And it just illustrated kind of the paranoia of, you know, these elected representatives when trying to find a boogeyman, trying to find this scary smoking gun. And for those that don't know, because I've been to China and I've been to Singapore, they're entirely different countries. It'd be like if someone came over here and asked an American person if they were, you know, Mexican because of the proximity to the country. You know, or if we're Canadian, something like that, or Ecuadorian or something, you know, just because the countries are roughly in the same part of the world. And that is kind of the same thing for folks that don't know and don't get the context of that example there. And another thing I find interesting is not that this app does share data. It's that it could share data, right? And TikTok has already gone to great lengths to ensure that not only that the data wasn't being shared, but that it could not be shared. They offer to offload the data to Oracle, which is an American company, so that it would not make its way to the Chinese, and on and on and on. And so TikTok has been very generous in addressing the concerns of, you know, these elected representatives and to a larger extent, some of the American people who feel like this might be a well-founded measure. And the fact is that they want TikTok to belong to American investors and be under American ownership, which I suspect has a lot more to do with the efforts to silence some of the content creators that have, you know, a wide open platform on TikTok to be very critical of the United States' policies, indeed the United States' response to the war in Gaza. And then they can silence and deplatform some of these really powerful users and organizers. Much in the same way that Sean King was deplatformed from TikTok, you know, by under American ownership, it would be easier to deplatform these activists that are critical of the United States. So I feel like that might have a little bit more to do with it, because from where I sit, which admittedly I've only read articles. I don't know anything behind the scenes. Indeed, I've seen some of the users' complaints on this, and I've seen some of the interviews, of course, with the CEO. And I use TikTok. It doesn't feel as scary as our House of Representatives would have us believe. Now, again, I don't know everything, but I feel like there might be something else going on here. And we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But for now, Biden has signed this deal. So money is going to Ukraine and Israel. Now TikTok has to sell. So we'll wait and see what happens. Moving on. This is from the Black Information Network. President Joe Biden is set to deliver a commencement address at Morehouse College next month. So this past Monday, the White House confirmed that Biden will speak at Morehouse and their commencement, which is scheduled for May 19th at 9 a.m. per 11 Alive News. The decision to make Biden's Morehouse commencement speaker has sparked faculty concern, this according to NBC News. In an email reportedly sent by Kendrick Brown, Morehouse's provost and senior vice president for academic affairs, the university official said he received an inquiry from concerned faculty about Biden's upcoming speech. Brown reportedly pledged to hold a virtual meeting this week for faculty to share their concerns, according to NBC News. Students will also have the opportunity to share feedback with Morehouse College President David Thomas. Biden's upcoming speech at the HBCU comes as the president is reportedly struggling to gain support from young voters and Black Americans. The president last visited Morehouse in 2022 with Vice President Kamala Harris. So, yes, this looks like exactly what Biden needs. He needs Georgia. And he needs votes. He needs Black votes. He needs Black men to vote for him. And he has not been gaining a lot of ground with that group for a number of reasons, I suspect. I know that for people like me, we have been very critical again of Biden's response to Israel's response to Gaza. And, you know, sending money and weapons over to Israel so that they can be used to, you know, wipe more human beings off of the face of the earth feels sad. And I know that, again, the people that are kind of that activist mindset, we really relate more to the Palestinian plight than the plight of Israel, the state. I'm not speaking about Jewish people. I'm talking about the state of Israel. So, you know, outside of, you know, his student loan efforts, there's really not a lot that Black people can lean into. And I think that him going to Morehouse to try to speak is just kind of par for the course, him having to make up some ground with Black people. You know, we've seen it before. We'll see it again. But it's just interesting to know that that's kind of the next play. And it's also interesting to know that colleges around the country are protesting the war in Gaza all over the country. Students have been very critical of that. It wouldn't surprise me to see a walkout when Joe Biden takes the stage. It wouldn't surprise me to see really anything if Joe Biden, you know, touches down there and goes to speak. Now, with that said, obviously it's still a big deal to have a president come speak at a college, but, you know, there's a lot here. You know, I remember Joe Biden giving his State of the Union address saying that Israel needs to adopt a ceasefire and, you know, they need a two-state solution over there. And, you know, as per our first story today, you know, he signed a bill sending more aid over. And so, you know, it's kind of like speaking out of both sides of his mouth. So we'll see how it looks when he touches down.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. you may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
This is your Midweek Memo on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast with me, your host, Ramses Ja. All right, next up from CNN, 4 takeaways from Trump's hush money trial. I'm going to give you the kind of Cliff's Notes here. So if you want to check out the article itself, again, it's at CNN.com, but we'll just kind of speed through it just to bring you up to speed. First up, the gag order hearing goes badly for Trump. So there's no real big deal here. Obviously, if you're familiar with the gag order that the judge signed saying that Trump couldn't attack certain protected people who were close in proximity to the trial, and Trump violated it. You know, he chose to continue to exercise his quote unquote free speech. And this isn't really that big of a deal since these fines are somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $1,000 each, which, I mean, $10,000-$12,000 worth of fines to Donald Trump. No big deal. I'm sure one of his donors would pay that for him gladly. But it did not go well for him. So the gag order hearing at least has gone badly. Next up, number 2, judge says Trump lawyers are, quote, losing all credibility, unquote. And that doesn't play well for Trump going into the actual trial. Noted that his lawyers are kind of losing credibility in the gag order hearings. So I'll share a bit. Judge Merchan repeatedly asked Blanche, which is Trump's lawyer, to clarify examples of when Trump was specifically responding to attacks from Cohen and Daniels, of course, that being Stormy Daniels, on social media. And the judge grew visibly frustrated when Blanche failed to comply. Quote, "You've presented nothing," unquote, Merchan said to Blanche. Goes on to say, quote, "I've asked you 8 or 9 times to show me the exact post he was responding to. You've been unable to do that even once," unquote. And then Blanche responds saying, "President Trump is being very careful to comply with your order." And then the judge responds to that saying, "You're losing all credibility with the court." So this is basically the judge saying, "Hey, this looks like you violated. Do you have a defense?" And the defense is, "He didn't violate." And the judge says, "Well, this is a court of law. You're going to have to show what you're talking about." And they continue to respond, "He didn't violate. He tried to follow your orders. He didn't violate." And so, again, you begin to lose credibility with the court as per the actual judge presiding over the hush money trial. All right. Next up, the third point. Former American Media Incorporated Chief David Pecker puts the jury inside of how AMI, again, that's American Media Incorporated, helped Trump in the 2016 campaign. Pecker, who ran American Media Incorporated during the 2016 election, testified for around 2.5 hours on Tuesday, walking jurors through how he worked with Michael Cohen on Trump's behalf to squash unflattering stories during the 2016 election. On Tuesday, Pecker testified about the catch and kill details involving McDougal and Trump's doorman. He said that he met with Trump and Cohen in 2015, where he agreed to be, quote, the eyes and ears, unquote, of the campaign and look out for negative stories. So this is kind of setting the framework for the prosecution, suggesting that there was this mechanism, this framework in place to influence the outcome of the 2016 election. And obviously with this Pecker guy admitting to, you know, his role in that. And we've already known this. This was already known way back then. It had been uncovered at the time. At least I remember reading about this. Again, it's kind of setting the stage for the prosecution here. All right. Final point is that Pecker places Michael Cohen deep in the conspiracy. So Pecker placed Cohen at the heart of the alleged catch and kill conspiracy Tuesday. He testified that Cohen was indeed the go-between for Trump, fielding media stories from Pecker since 2007. So as you know, Donald Trump paid Cohen and Cohen paid Stormy Daniels. Not in that order. Cohen paid Stormy Daniels and Trump paid Cohen back and reimbursed him. But Cohen, Pecker had placed Cohen as the go-between between Trump and the media company. And so, again, they're setting up the prosecution to suggest that this mechanism was in place and Donald Trump knowingly paid for these expenses, knowing that they would end up resulting as the hush money payments, hence the exact numbers adding up and them trying to pass it off as a legitimate business expense when everyone knew that it was not that. All right, our final story comes from XXL. On Tuesday, TMZ reported that a Yeezy representative confirmed the Chicago rapper is toying with the idea of launching a pornography brand. Rep also claimed Ye is currently in talks with Mike Mohs, the ex-husband of former porn star Stormy Daniels, to get it up and running. Mike is well known in the adult entertainment world for his role as a producer and art director. He's made numerous pornography films, including Aroused, Abigail, and others. The source allegedly told the Celebrity News site that Ye could even have the brand up and running by this summer. So I won't spend a lot of time with this. It's just something to know. You know, I don't like giving a lot of unflattering credit to this man. Longtime listeners may know why. I really do want the best for him. You know, I found myself listening to one of his songs the other day and I kind of liked it, you know. So I just wish that he was more associated with positive things than negative things. But I suspect that it's kind of his own fault. You know, I don't know if he knows where the line is, where his line is in terms of his own morality and how he feels. You know, once upon a time, he's, you know, George Bush doesn't care about black people. And then years later, he's, you know, White Lives Matter. And because he doesn't know where his line is, I think that it's hard for me to know where his line is. You know, this is the same guy that wrote Jesus Walks. And he also wrote Father Stretch My Hands. And if you know the lyrics of that song, then you know exactly how different those two songs are, despite the title feeling very, the titles feeling very similar. You know, his wife, Kim Kardashian, divorced him partially because he started to become very super uber religious. And, you know, he quickly remarried so he wouldn't be living in sin. I remember that being a part of the story at the time. And now he's opening a porn studio. And so, again, it's just kind of hard to know where the line is with this guy. But, you know, I hope he finds his way, whatever way that is. And, you know, I hope he kind of stays consistent, and then we know where to place him in our minds, because there are those of us who really want to see him walk in his own consistent truth, whatever that looks like. And if it is consistent with our morality, then we can support him. And if it is inconsistent, then we know where to place him. But the fact that he goes back and forth, it allows people on both sides to string together a narrative that paints him firmly in one corner or another. And, you know, he's showing us that people are complicated, but in his case, he's only complicated because I feel like he might be just really inconsistent. So we'll leave that one right there. Don't forget, these and other stories can be found at BINnews.com. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. And join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.